hasa with smiles, lila playful, avaloka of his glances, kalaya with a small portion, utsavam a festival. Atanoti, he bestows. Translation. Observing Lord Mukunda's wives passing on the road like stars accompanying the moon, the women exclaimed, "What have these ladies done so that the best of men bestows upon their eyes the joy of his generous smiles and playful sidelong glances?" Translation responsibly. Observing Lord Mukunda's wives, passing on the road like stars accompanying the moon,
the women exclaimed,
"What have these ladies done so that the best of men bestows upon their eyes the joy of his generous smiles and playful sidelong glances?" There's no purport to this, but there's a lot of commented this verses. There are many verses that Srila Prabhupada and his followers didn't comment upon, but there are similar verses within the Srimad Bhagavatam that where Srila Prabhupada has actually made comments on these pastimes, and also in his various lectures and conversations. So sort of drawing upon that vast wealth of commentary by Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas and current acharyas, we can still say a little bit about these verses, because the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, each and every word is very deep and meaningful, and we should be careful not to proceed too quickly, otherwise we might miss some nectar. Just like, you know, when there's something undesirable, we tend to pass over it very quickly. But when there's something very, very nectarian, we tend to, you know, make sure, like misers, soak up every drop. So, here the question is asked, you know, what have these ladies done that they're able to enjoy, you know, this, the beautiful smiling glances and of Lord Krishna? And, you know, we can ask a question, like, what have we done that we cannot? So here, you know, they are pointing out that there must have been some special piety, and, you know, a lot of it, in order to get this very, very wonderful opportunity. And they are describing, this scene has been very nicely described, that you know, Krishna, you know, in this huge procession coming from Dwarka with all the horses and chariots and so many other animals, you know, camels and elephants, all beautifully decorated. Even just one of those animals, actually just to look at one of those animals, so nicely decorated, in our current time would completely bewilder us with the opulence and dazzling beauty. Just one of the pack animals. But here is this huge procession, Krishna travelling in state, the Lord of Dwarka with all his beautiful queens and all their, you know, different servants and many of the different associates, very famous personalities from Dwarka, imagine the paparazzi going crazy. See, the paparazzi these days, they flock hundreds of them surround some poor movie star that really, you know, there's a little fashion there, or you know, there's some good looks or something. You know, there's not a lot there. There's not really a lot there to look at. Not a lot of talent, but because there's nothing else in Kali Yuga, and we want something wonderful, therefore they flock. But you can just imagine, you know, this wonderful scene here. So, just to see, you know, that they would, of course, would be appreciating that, just to see this scene, you know, they are feeling very fortunate. That, you know, this beautiful procession with Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come to this world, has come to Indraprastha, and so they're feeling very fortunate. But then, you know, looking at the queens and seeing Krishna looking at them in his very loving way as he's entering into Indraprastha, they're just wondering, you know, how fortunate, how wonderful, you know, what have they done? You know, how have they been so blessed? So, you know, it's a fact that if we perform pious activities, then we get the results, we get good results. And if we perform impious activities, we get very bad results. So here is this beautiful situation, and all the personalities involved, you know, even just getting the tiniest little glimpse of this scene, you know, what would you do? You know, what would you do just to have even a second, just a moment to be able to, you know, see this scene as it enters into Indraprastha? Everyone there is so very, very fortunate. Whereas, you know, when you take the opposite, as I say, you can ask the question, what you know, have we done, or what have others done to be so unfortunate to take birth in Kali Yuga and to be, you know, so bereft of you know, the association of these great personalities? We see that people take birth as butchers. Actually, my partner was reading last night, just before we go to sleep, actually, she was telling me that you know, if her father you know, sells his daughter so that he can earn, you know, money, then he has to spend, you know, so many thousands of years in Kumbhipaka hell, where he drinks the urine and stool, eats the stool of his daughter, and then after that, after suffering in such a terrible, terrible way, he takes birth as a you know, someone who, like a butcher, you know, butchers, very, very low, sinful birth. And there are many, we see in this world, you know, people have, you know, some terrible situations. Actually, if you look at the majority of the people in the world, in many, many countries, you know, in China, you know, Africa, Russia, so many places in the world, there is so much misfortune people have taken. You know, birth in war-torn countries, poverty-stricken countries, you know, some people, they have to travel many, many miles just to get some water, just to drink for the day, and then they have to bring that back. Some people in this world, they spend all day just to gather the bare necessities. A little bit of something to drink, you know, some very simple food that will keep them alive, and, you know, some protection from the elements. And then they get up the next day and they struggle again. All day, 24 hours, and that is their entire life. And sometimes they go without completely. And in the midst of that, every now and then, you know, armies will come through and harass them. And in between that, there are droughts and diseases. So, you know, there are many, many, it's not just a few, but a huge amount of people, a especially in Kali Yuga, and becomes worse. He gets worse. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he advises that actually, we shouldn't waste time in this world, that, you know, from the very beginnings of our lives, we should take to devotional service and not waste our time trying to enjoy in the material world. And I think Tri Yuga touched upon this yesterday, that Prahlad Maharaj says that just as distress comes of its own accord because we've performed impious activities, then our happiness will also come of its own accord because we've performed pious activities. This is understood by devotees. They have that understanding. They're doing devotional service. They know that there is, it is pious. They're accumulating heaps of pious activities, but it is not a material activity, and yet still they're accruing, huge amounts of piety on a material and spiritual platform. It's actually a spiritual activity, devotional service, but still they're accruing so much pious activity, which means that, without their endeavouring for their happiness in this material world, it's really just coming of its own accord. In fact, it's seeking them out. Happiness will seek out the devotee. The devotee may hide from it. Sometimes they do. The devotees, they're not interested in the happiness or distress of this material world. But, happiness will come and find that devotee, and, according to their pious merits, and they will be blessed with, they don't have to struggle. Apart from that, of course, the greatest blessing of devotional service is that they do gradually develop this sort of piety where they can ultimately attain the direct association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and revive, a particular, their eternal sarup, or their eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is the ultimate blessing, of course. So, Prahlad Maharaj says, don't waste your time, because, and he explains that, you get 100 years in Kali Yuga. Well, of course, as we know, in Kali Yuga, not many people get 100 years. Maybe they get 80, really 60, between 60 and 70. Of that, the first 10 years we spend as, babies, little children. Right? We have no real idea what we're doing. And so it's sort of wasted. Perhaps the last 10 years of our lives, when we're very, very old, you really can't do anything. You practically, can hardly feed yourself or shower or anything. There's 10 years as teenagers, which are, usually sort of a lot of sport and run around with all sorts of, So if we take 30 years off, that 80, say, we're generous, we give people 80 years, take 30 years off, wasted, can't really do anything with. At least 50. Of that, most people have spent sleep about a third to half. So, reduce that down. So we're getting somewhere, less than 20, really, isn't it? 40, somewhere between 30 and 40 years. In that 30, 40 years, of course, there's a certain amount of time just trying to, earn enough to, eat and what have you. Going to the toilet, having a shower, walking down to the, local store, walking back. So it doesn't leave a lot, of that 30 years, and really most people would spend that probably best 30 years of their life in family life, and as we know, that will pretty much take up all of that. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, cleaning up the house, washing the dishes, cooking meals like that. So pretty much if we take that 80 years, as Prahlad Maharaj is describing, really, the whole lot disappears, like that, before you know. And he points out a very interesting thing, that although imperceptibly, it's very imperceptible, we don't notice 80 years of our life is gone, and really at the end of it, there's not a lot of benefit. And but Maya is so tricky, how she influences our mind and puts us in a state of illusion, that people are so very, very mindful that if they to get the slightest little profit. You know, if they can make an extra dollar, oh, they'll notice, you know, oh, there's an opportunity, there's an extra dollar in that for me. You know, or if they lose a dollar, oh, you know, I couldn't, you know, I dropped a dollar, or, you know, I went into the shop, I got short change, you know, they'll notice, oh, you know, damn, so I had to become really angry, you know, I've taken a couple of days to get over it, that shopkeeper, you know, it's like, you know, took a dollar, he meant it to, you know, it wasn't an accident. So they become like this. So, you know, the mind is like that. We're just completely in this illusory state. That all these things that don't really matter, we're really attentive to. You know, if you see the attention that people place on their cars, you know, they buff them. And there's a tiny little scratch. Sometimes you see people and they say, look at that, look at the scratch on my car. Huh? And you look at it and you're thinking, well, I can't really see it. I've got to put my glasses on. Look at that. You know, I can't drive a car like that. You know, and then they'll have to go and they'll take it in and they'll get it all, you know, sorted out. So, you know, so attentive, right, to things which are so, you know, have no real value. And yet 80 years of the human form of life goes like that and they waste the entire amount. And that's how tricky, you know, Maya is. And and even there is, you know, so much difficulty, so much suffering, you know, people take a lot of risk that, you know, to earn those few dollars, they will risk. They know that most people do a lot of things which are very impious. And people don't want to think about the concept of karma because, you know, it means that, you know, if I accept the principle of karma, I'm going to have to start thinking about what I'm doing to earn a living. And I don't want to do that because, you know, that's a scary thought. If I have to suffer some reaction for this, I'd rather think, bury my head in the sand and just forget karma because, you know, if I'm responsible for what I'm doing now, then I'm going to suffer. So people don't want to think about it. You know, let's watch the cricket instead. So, but the fact is that although they don't want to think about it, still, the, you know, people will get the reaction. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was, I was listening to a tape on the way in, Srila Prabhupada was describing how everything in this world has a reaction. And he was making an interesting point that if you make a sound, that sound just keeps travelling. He was saying it travels around the world in about 7 times or something in just, you know, a very short space of time. Just like, and he gave the example, if you drop a stone into water and you see the concentric circles, you know, just, and they just keep going, going, going like that. So you make a sound, it has a reaction, it just keeps going like that. And sound is very powerful. People, you know, in the Vedic age, of course, people understood how powerful sound is. It can create a very, very powerful reaction. And, you know, the whole Vedic society was, you know, they derived so much power, not from nuclear sources, not from electricity, you know, not from coal and all these things, but from, you know, sound vibration. Very, very expert. There's one theory that people have put up that how are the pyramids built, and some say that it was possibly done with sound. There are some scientists who they're actually that they're performing experiments where they have a small object, maybe a small pea or something. They bounce sound waves off this small object and it just floats in air. So you can actually make something an object almost defy the laws of gravity to one sense, in one sense, because of the potency of sound waves. You know, they actually, it's a physical force. It's very, very subtle, but it's actually a physical force. So, you know, if they believe, of course we know, that if the technology, the understanding of sound was to such a degree where they could, you know, generate a certain type of sound, enough sound, you can actually lift, you know, and do all sorts of things with sound. It has a very direct reaction on physical things. Vedically they knew this, but so everything we do has a reaction, and this is a scientific fact, and yet people somehow feel that they can, you know, run around the world and do whatever they like, and it's not going to affect anyone else, or it's not going to affect their future. They just feel like this, and which really defies their own understanding of how the, you know, universe works, even on a purely physical level, what to speak of a spiritual level. So Prahlad Maharaj is describing that, you know, we should actually perform those activities which produce the reaction that we want, and that reaction is a spiritual reaction. So therefore, by hearing from we should spend our time hearing how to engage ourselves in the process of devotional service. We should hear that, and then we should engage in the process of devotional service, and then our the reaction from that, as Srila Prabhupada states, again, he gave that same analogy that just as you know, you throw a stone in the water and the concentric circles just keep expanding, that, you know, if you perform devotional service, it actually just, you know, the reaction of that goes all the way up to the spiritual world where Krishna is, and he, you know, there is a spiritual reaction. It's a spiritual activity and it has a spiritual reaction, and the effect goes all the way to, you know, Krishna Loka, where, you know, the reaction is that Krishna reciprocates with our devotional activities, you know, on that spiritual platform. So we should hear, but we should hear devotional service from authorities. We shouldn't hear from those who are not properly situated in disciplic succession. Prahlad Maharaj, actually, in his teachings, when he was teaching in the sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, his instructions were very simple, really describing how people create a bad situation for themselves in the material world, how they create a good situation by spiritual activities. Very, very simple instructions, which even a five-year-old child could understand. And Prahlad, in fact, was a child when he was speaking, and he was speaking to other children. Actually, the other day, I spoke on this theme with, we went to one of the devotees' son, who was 14, had a birthday, and so I was speaking particularly to the children present, so they range from about, you know, 14, 15 down to about 3.5 with Varuni. And so I was asking them particular questions that you know, they could answer. So I was asking, you know, what do demons do? And Varuni yells out, they like to fight. What do devotees do? And Varuni yells out, chant Hare Krishna. That is. So we were all quite surprised, you know. But because I was just making that point, actually, that, you know, even children can understand, you know, what we've spoken is not that difficult. And it was like a direct confirmation. So, but yet Prahlad Maharaj says that even that knowledge, which can be understood by a five-year-old child, if it's not heard within disciplic succession, it cannot be understood. It cannot be understood. And, you know, we have that experience that, you know, you speak to people and, you know, they are taking information not from our disciplic succession, even though it's being presented, but they have their own mahajans. And therefore they accept, you know, their head is full of that, and you can't get through. You're speaking something, but because their head is, you know, they're taking authority from someone else, therefore they cannot understand the simplest truths, even when it's spoken to them. What to speak of, you know, very, very, you know, elevated subject matters. You know, here, of course, we're discussing that these, here we're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's, you know, approaching Indraprastha, and he's surrounded by devotees in so many different relationships. for the people in Indraprastha, there are so many different, you know, specific relationships that they have with the Supreme Lord, all on a spiritual platform, all the queens and the servants and the friends and, you know, advisors, they all have a specific spiritual relationship. And that science of the relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very, very difficult to understand. As we know, he can be divided into five basic categories of neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal, of which there are different subgroupings. But for and we understand, you know, even the average devotee has, you know, some concept of these five relationships which were available. Whereas in other sampradayas, even in Vaishnava sampradayas, because they don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they cannot understand those things, not even in a simple way. Yeah, we were discussing that the other day. I was explaining that Srila Prabhupada was he was talking with his disciples, and he was saying that, you know, someone from the Vallabha Sampradaya, which sprung from the Vishnu Swami, coming from the Lord Shiva Sampradaya, many of them worship Bal Krishna. And although the teachings of Radha Krishna are there, they do not deny the teachings of Radha Krishna, but they tend to be attracted to the worship of Bal Krishna. But because the influence of the age of Kali, and because of not taking instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their understanding has become degraded. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that now many don't worship Radha Krishna because they feel that. They worship Bal Krishna because they say that Bal Krishna is uncontaminated. But then Krishna, he started associating with the gopis, he had all these girlfriends, and, you know, then he got married and there was a battle of Kuru, etc., and so many people were killed. So he became contaminated. So we don't worship that Krishna. We worship the uncontaminated Krishna when he was a little baby. They actually think like that. As if, you know, God, because they have no understanding. They're thinking that, you know, if they read this passage here where these women, you know, glancing at the Lord and, you know, appreciating that conjugal mood between Radha and Krishna, between Krishna and his queens, they would be thinking that is contaminated, that is... That is, these more, you know, when Krishna is performing, you know, activities, perhaps in the mode of goodness or what have you, but they're not spiritual activities. So they don't appreciate them. So therefore, we see that even one can have a Vaishnava guru or can be associated with Vaishnava sampradayas, and still, the understanding, Krishna consciousness understanding, can only fully manifest if one is properly situated in a sampradaya. And in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar, and he is teaching the proper understanding of the scriptures. Actually, Vrindavan Das, Krishna Das Kaviraj Thakur, he describes, he says it in a very strong way. Because he is an acharya, I'll quote him. If someone else said it, we'd probably think, ooh. But he says, if someone worships Radha Krishna and they do not worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that worship is demoniac. Such a strong statement. And if they worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and do not worship Radha Krishna, that worship is demoniac. So, you know, very, very powerful words. And, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the process, and if we don't follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will not know what process of devotional service to perform. In this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is the prime, you know, religious principle. And actually, again, Krishnadas Kaviraj goes, Ishwarapuri said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Kali Yuga, actually, the only religious principle on the transcendental platform is this Sankirtan movement. So, yet we see, just recently, for instance, one great, very, very elevated Vaishnava, and I don't mean to slight that Vaishnava, someone was describing, he came from India, and I think in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and he was demonstrating the process of deity worship. One devotee was telling me that he had 200 couples. I'm not sure you might have more information on this. He had 200 couples, and he showed them how, the marriage of Venkateswara, Bhushakti, and Lakshmi showed that, so it's a very elaborate deity worship that went over a long period of time. And he showed, so many mantras and the meaning of the mantras and the mudras and, very, very elaborate. And I said, my first question to the devotee who was telling me this story, I said, are any of these people he's showing Brahmins? He said, no, maybe some. And I thought, well, gee, they're probably, there'll be a big interest for 1 or 2 days, and then, they'll all get very excited, and after a couple of days, they'll all have these deities that they've, acquired, and they'll be left sitting idle after about 2 weeks, not being worshipped, and then they'll just go back to whatever they were doing after this acharya's gone. Actually, on my way to the temple this morning, I stopped in to get some petrol, and there was a couple of Indian people there attending the service station, and he said, "Oh, Hare Krishna," "This is our religion too." And I sort of couldn't help but notice the open packet of Camel cigarettes, on the side. And he's got a band, so that is his, from Vrindavan, some coloured band. And so here's someone else. He had a pendant, the other one had a pendant, Radha Krishna. And he said, "We have our guru in Vrindavan." So, we had a little chat, but I couldn't help but think, that you have your guru in Vrindavan, and yet, you're here smoking Camel cigarettes, It's, there's something missing in between. So, it is like that. Without, if people are not situated in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Sankirtan movement, even if they're in a Vaishnava Sampradaya, what to speak of others, it is just not possible to understand properly Krishna consciousness. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, even the simple, instructions, it will be, and even if there is some understanding of, the concepts, I am, not this body and what have you, people will not be able to apply that. How do I apply that? Here I am in the Western world. Bhagavad Gita is telling me I'm not this body. What do I do? How will I know? So, really one has to be situated in disciplic succession. One has to hear Krishna consciousness from the Vaishnavas. That is very important, to hear from those who are properly situated in the disciplic succession coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this hearing from the Vaishnavas, that is very, very powerful if that can be done. Actually, one time, Srila Prabhupada, he was talking with his disciples, and the disciples were talking about Prabhupada was talking about people, they don't follow, they're not following properly, they're not properly situated, they're not accepting the proper guru, and they're not following the guru, and sometimes they accept a guru, but it's really just a fashion statement. So one disciple said, like Dhritarashtra, he heard from Vidura, but he didn't take the instruction. As we know with the story that Vidura, he approached Dhritarashtra several times, actually before the battle of Kurukshetra. Madhura approached Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra and his sons were going to arrange for this gambling match. And, you know, Duryodhana and Sukuni, and they were going to cheat the Pandavas out of their kingdom. And Vidura came, he heard about it. You know, Dhritarashtra thought, I better get the permission, you know, speak to Vidura about it. And Vidura said, don't do it. He said, nothing good ever comes from gambling. And, you know, if somehow, this most likely will just end up in some quarrel between the families, and that will be devastating. He said, don't do it. And, Dhritarashtra was saying, yes, but if it is destined, this is a misrepresentation of that philosophy. If it is destined that I will be happy from this action, then so will it be. If it is destined that I shall be unhappy from this action, then that's the way it shall be. So he misrepresented that philosophy. That's what a lot of people do. And Vidura set him right. And he said, no, actually, you have your free choice. And you can actually make a decision according to your free will. And then whatever action you perform, that reaction is destined. It's not that your free will is destined. It's not that your choice is destined. Like that. So, anyway, you know, there were many, many good instructions by Vidura, but he didn't take them. And he went ahead anyway, and then there was the battle of Kurukshetra. And, you know, the whole, everything is destroyed. So anyway, the disciples were saying to Srila Prabhupada that, Dhritarashtra, you know, he heard but he didn't accept. And Srila Prabhupada said, even if you can hear like Dhritarashtra, even if you can hear from a devotee like Dhritarashtra, that is also good. He said, Dhritarashtra's position is that he heard, but he thought, I know what you're saying, I can accept what you're saying, but I can't do it. I can't follow. Prabhupada said, even if you can hear like that, that yes, I accept what you're saying, that part of it, that part is good. And that part there will have a good reaction. Krishna will take the slightest good that he can find, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they will make that into some, oh, did you see that devotee? You know, that wonderful mood that was there. You know, I will bless that devotee. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. That, you know, Dhritarashtra is thinking, I agree with what you're saying, but I cannot follow. And Prabhupada said, and just see the result. Ultimately, because of that, because at least he accepted, ultimately he attained liberation. You see how, you know, merciful the Lord is. So, it's very important that people have the opportunity to hear the real message as given by Srila Prabhupada, his representatives, coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if they can hear it and if we can present it in such a way that they can, you know, be a little agreeable and friendly, even if they don't immediately follow it, then that will have a huge spiritual reaction. The slightest little, as is said in the Bhagavad Gita, the slightest little advancement in Krishna consciousness can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. Even the slightest little bit. That is the words from Krishna. So therefore that is, you know, what a devotee does. They look for the slightest opportunity to engage someone somehow or another. And if they can do that, they know that that is immense benefit for that person because they're serving God. They're serving God. And that benefit, again, is never lost. That, you know, it adds up 1%, 2% over many lifetimes. Until here, as we see, you know, many of these personalities, you know, they've actually achieved some opportunity to associate with Krishna because of, you know, this accumulation of spiritual piety. Of course, many of these personalities here are also Nitya Siddhas who come down and, you know, they, for those who have been picked up from the material world, the Nityasiddhas come down and they give them association and they purify them, and that, you know, that is the last purification before they go back to Godhead. They get Krishna's association, the Nityasiddhas association, they go back to Godhead. But many of these people in these pastimes were picked up along the way because their pious activities had, you know, accumulated to that point. So, you know, what to speak of Dhritarashtra, the Dhritarashtras in this world, you know, the devotees who are going out preaching Krishna consciousness, you know, performing all sorts of austerities to distribute books, to do sankirtan, there is no doubt of their, you know, the wonderful benedictions that, you know, Krishna will be presenting to them. So I'll leave it there. Anyone has any questions or comments? And we have about 2 minutes, I think. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I think it's also said in the Sri Sangha that Ramachandra person makes arrangement for initiates to go back and back to God.
Yes.
So what is the position of those who take initiation to the Ramachandra Sangha?
Oh, there's huge benefit. Yeah. There's huge benefit for anyone who takes to you know, Vaishnavism, they will go back to Godhead. You know, many may go to Vaikuntha. You know, some may go to Dwarka, Mathura. But if we want to go to Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, without really following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that may not be available to many, you know, to many Vaishnavas. If, you know, so certainly they can go back to Godhead. But if we want Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, you really have to follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that sort of understanding, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, you know, when the time came for him to propagate the religious principles, at the same time there was a very special thing he wanted to do. He knew that previously, you know, this very intimate relationships, spontaneous love that is there in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, it had not really been broadcast. You know, there was some understanding, but it had not really been broadcast. So that in such a way, in a very systematic way, that people could actually really take an opportunity to develop the desire to want to go there and develop the devotional service to be able to go there. So that's the very unique contribution by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this entering into this Vrindavan Leela. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll find that that is not there in other Vaishnava Sampradayas. But it is not that the various acharyas, as you pointed out, it's not that the various acharyas had no knowledge of these things. But, you know, as you mentioned, there's that pastime where, I think it was Ramanujacharya, and before appearing, the Lord said to him, you know, I want you to preach, you know, this particular philosophy. Do not preach more than this, because later on I will appear and I will teach like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that, you know, you preach up to a certain level and then later I will come and preach this. And I think Ramanujacharya actually appeared somehow. I think all of the acharyas again appeared to hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preach this, you know, Goloka Vrindavan Leela. What's that? Anantacharya, yeah. As far as I understand, all the acharyas from the four sampradayas appeared again to become disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and associates, and to hear from him preach this never before heard message of you know, Vrindavan Leela. So we shouldn't think that those acharyas are somehow deficient or lacking, but they had a particular task to perform. But the followers of those acharyas, you know, they should take note that if Ramanujacharya has taught us this philosophy, and then he has appeared within Chaitanya Leela to hear the next instalment, then shouldn't I also follow my guru and get that next installment? Yes. So, but sometimes they're made aware and they don't want to anyway. Sometimes, you know, it's not that they're not devotees explaining to them that, you know, these, you know, the significance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the connection between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their acharyas. But sometimes they're, you know, fixed in a, you know, a particular way, sometimes because of material conceptions. As I said, you know, just refusing to hear from, you know, properly situated Vaishnavas in the current day. So, you know, many of them follow, you know, like Ramanujacharya appeared about, you know, 1000 AD or something like that. So, you know, so most of them about 1000 years. So, you know, their philosophy, which is eternal, of course, but, you know, 1000 years. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, recently, within 500 years, has presented the, you know, Yuga Dharma, the philosophy, the topmost philosophy, and, you know, that should be followed, really, by everyone. There's no one in Kali Yuga who should not, you know, follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone, you know, no matter what sampradaya they're in, they should still, you know, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord, he's Krishna in his topmost feature. So, you know, if we call ourselves, I am a devotee of God, but God has come and said this, but no, I'm not interested. I have my own type of service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, no, it's better you do this. You know, this is because that particular type that you are following then may have been suitable for that particular time and for those particular personalities, but actually for Kali Yuga, for all time to come, this process must be followed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, don't stress on deity worship, don't stress on, you know, they should be there, but foremost is this sankirtan, this chanting the holy names of the Lord and distributing the holy names of the Lord. That should be foremost. Now, if the Supreme Lord is saying that that is the prime service to be done, and yet we are saying, well, you may be God, but, you know, I have my priorities and, you know, like that. So, you know, that's probably not good. So there's some benefit. The Lord, who is very kind, he will take, you know, every, you know, the slightest trace of some positive, you know, desire for Krishna consciousness, every little bit of service, that will be taken into account, and there'll be huge, you know, they're going back to Godhead. But if, you know, some associated with those sampradayas, because of the nature of this age, that process is not actually keeping them aloof from material conceptions, and therefore that's why, oh yes, Krishna with Radha is, you know, he is contaminated, and, you know, whereas, you know, so there's a lot of real material conceptions also has infiltrated, and there are a lot of religious principles which have degraded to a real material platform because they have actually disregarded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there can be that as well. So therefore, for that there is also, you know, some limitation on their advancement. Our relationship is that we should study their philosophy scrutinizingly, understand it and preach it in its proper perspective. All the Vaishnavacharyas are protecting the path and propagating the path of pure devotional service. So we should understand the philosophy of Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, and Madhvacharya. We should understand their philosophy, but we should understand the level it takes someone to, and we should be able to distinguish where that leaves off and where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes off. So we should understand their teachings in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, not independently. That's the mistake. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, we come in the disciplic succession from Madhvacharya, but those who actually in that disciplic succession, they're called Tattvavadis, whereas we're called Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because we actually differ from the strict followers of Madhvacharya, who's our Gaudiya Acharya. Our Acharya. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Madhvacharya, he asked him, what is the supreme religious principle? And Madhvacharya said, to engage yourself in the Varnashram system and offer all your works to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is external. There is something more than that. He said, above that is to engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. He said that is purely transcendental, and he, you know, so therefore, you know, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to correct the followers of Madhvacharya, who had stopped at a particular limit, and he was saying that, you know, you have to go beyond this. And he instructed that you should take up this chanting of Hare Krishna. Even within our own sampradaya, we're saying that, you know, Madhvacharya taught people to a certain level, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected that teaching to give something more. And we can't just say, well, forget Chaitanya, let's just follow Madhva, he's in our sampradaya. If we can't do that in our own sampradaya, why should we do it in any other sampradaya? If they're saying, oh, we'll only teach up to a certain level, and we disregard. We can't do that in any sampradaya, not even our own. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically showed that by instructing the followers of Madhvacharya. Who was that?
You mentioned
that
the
He went to a higher planetary system, later he got liberation. Sometimes it's mentioned like that, that you see in a certain part of the Bhagavad Gita describes that you know, someone went to the heavenly planets, then, and later in the Bhagavad Gita describes they got a personal liberation, and later it describes that they got a personal liberation, then like that. So Prabhupada says he attained his svarup, which means his original Krishna conscious position. And he Prabhupada said that specifically. He attained his svarup, which means his original Krishna conscious position. And then they said, oh, but not Duryodhana. And Srila Prabhupada says, Duryodhana also. Paul. Svarup. If Krishna consciousness is so powerful and so wonderful, is there anything else worth doing? You know, if you compare it to, you know, material activities, even the slightest little bit, yes, it is very glorious. But if you want to take the full benefit, you know, somehow be, you know, take that from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you get the full benefit, yeah, very quickly. And that's just by chanting Hare Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness. Any other quick questions? Comments? We've gone all the time. Jai, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.